Hey guys, I'm Em from the fashion and beauty blog, The Lipstick Fever. When I moved to London over a year ago, I felt like there weren't a ton of obvious resources for women moving abroad or moving cities. My biggest source of strength and growth for my big move was through the inspiring and amazing women from all over the world that I've been meeting. Now, I want to share those conversations with you. We're going to hear from female entrepreneurs, industry experts, and some major female badasses on a global level. Hey everyone, welcome to the first ever live podcast episode of The Big Move. I am your host, Em, from the fashion and beauty blog, The Lipstick Fever. And tonight I'm very excited because we are at the brand new Hoxton Hotel location in London. We are in Southwark, which is in South Bank, south of the river, for those people that are not in London listening. And really excited to just kick off a partnership with them for this new location. It's gorgeous, and just excited to bring you guys all together here tonight. So thank you so much for coming. As much as I love podcasting and providing value through audio and through content, I feel like there's so much to be said for having a live event and just bringing people together. So that's why I'm excited about tonight. Thank you for giving up your Thursday evening to be with me and chat. So tonight I am joined by my dear friend, Danielle Pieser. She has been on the podcast before. And a lot of you probably already know her. She was also my first friend ever in London, but we'll get to that later. But I'm going to let her introduce herself really quick.
Hi, everyone. Thank you again just for coming, kind of just to say what Em's already said. I'm Danielle. I guess I kind of do something similar to Em. I share my life, embarrassing, awkward moments on social media and with like the world. But I mainly focus on fitness, well-being. I kind of like to talk about anything that makes me feel good. I will share, whether it be get my hair done, get my nails done, go for cocktails, wine, anything. I kind of just like to share that with my audience. So that's kind of a bit about me and what I do. And yeah, like Em said, I have been on the Big Move podcast. I think I was in episode three. Yeah. Yes. So yeah, quite a while ago now. And we had a great chat. But obviously when Em asked kind of me to be involved in this one today, with it being a live one, your first live. So first congrats ever. As well, by the way, for
Thank
that.
Thank you.
And kind of turning the tables a little bit, and we're going to kind of delve a little bit deeper into Em's big move. Obviously, I had to say yes. I mean, she's my friend, so I kind of had to say yes. But also, I was super excited to be involved. So I hope that you guys enjoy what we've got planned for you.
Yeah, totally. So like Danielle said, we're turning the tables a little bit on this episode. She is going to kind of kick things off and ask me some questions about my move. And we just thought it could be fun to share our experience coming from, one, a newbie in London, and then two, a veteran, being that Danielle is born and raised in London. So to kind of just kick things off, we thought it could be fun to do a little bit of like a play on American versus British words and phrases.
Because this happens quite a lot when we have conversations. Like Emily will be saying something and then she'll throw a random word in that obviously is kind of part of the American language. And I'm all, huh? Like, what are you talking about? I'm like, okay, do the conversion, like figure it out. Okay, that's what we're talking about. So we thought we'd do that.
And oftentimes I'll say slang that Danielle's like, wait, what's crushed it? So we didn't include those on the list, but I will say the American word or phrase and then you will say the British one.
The correct
one. Okay, cool. All right, we're competitive here. Okay, cool. Eggplant.
Aubergine.
How are you?
You okay?
That one I particularly dislike. pants.
Trousers. Yes.
Thank you. Apartment.
Flat.
Sidewalk.
I mean, what's that? Pavement.
That one really shocked me. Right. Okay.
This next one, though. I
mean. Zucchini.
It's a courgette, definitely.
Fries.
Chips.
Elevator.
Lift.
Trash can.
Bin.
Okay. Takeout.
Takeaway. Specifically Chinese.
Vacation.
Holiday.
Washcloth.
Flannel.
This is a new one for me.
Flannel? You've never heard of flannel? No. Flannel. Hang on. Please tell me there are some Brits in here that have heard flannel. Okay. Is flannel a random word? It's a flannel. It's flannel. Okay. Right. Good.
So,
okay. I had a moment there where I was like, oh, God. Okay.
That one's a brand new one for me. If you have been listening to the podcast, last episode, we had a skincare expert come on who is actually an expat. And she was like, you got to properly cleanse your face and then you're going to use a flannel. And I'm like, what? Said what? What's a like, what's a flannel? She's like, oh, it's a washcloth. I'm like, okay, cool. So now that we have that out of the way, last one, cell phone.
Mobile. Okay. Or just phone.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. Great. So,
now we've established that we basically speak different languages.
Now we've established that. So really briefly, how Danielle and I know each other. I said she's one of my first friends in London and we met 2 years ago. I literally got off the plane. I moved in the middle of summer and I was invited to a music festival called Love Box by a mutual friend. And so Danielle and I met there. But how, for the audience, like how do you compare Love Box or describe it and like in comparison to like a Coachella or like a Gov Ball in New York?
Okay, so I've been to both Coachella and Love Box. Love Box, well, when we went 2 years ago, I think it might have moved since then, but when we went, it was held in Victoria Park, so like kind of like east, like kind of northeast-ish of London. It is very eclectic. It is very unique. There are some very interesting fashion choices, as there are with Coachella, to be fair. But I think there are a lot of similarities, to be fair, between Coachella and Love Box in terms of you're still going to get that girl that's had far too much to drink in the corner, like kind of throwing up anything she's eaten. But it's, I think if you are not used to the London culture, that to be dropped in the middle of Love Box, and I don't know how many people here are familiar with Love Box Festival, to be dropped in the middle of Love Box Festival with basically like a like Brits abroad type, like it's a summer's day. Obviously when any Brit sees any sort of sun, they absolutely like lose their minds.
Lose it.
Yeah, because we just don't, I mean, this year we've been really, really like blessed with a lot of sun.
That's true.
Global warming. Yay.
Yeah.
But like usually, obviously, like we don't really get that much sun.
Yeah.
So everyone is very, very excited. Whereas in Coachella, because it's in the middle of the desert, everyone's used to the sun. Everyone's from LA. So they're all like, used to like that kind of sunshine. To them, it's not really a thing for it to be sunny. Whereas over here, like you buy tickets to a music festival and you're like, please don't rain.
Yeah.
Whereas you don't really get that in LA. So I think everyone's maybe just heightened, the excitement is heightened in the UK or in London for music festivals.
Yeah.
So I felt like it was an experience for you, but we were lucky because we were in like the VIP area.
We were in the VIP area. It was a little bit more tame, but even still, like the outfits, I swear I saw Katy Perry just like walking around, just like outlandish, like pop star-esque like costumes.
Yeah.
Because like people do go all out for Coachella, but it was quite the varying degree of characters there.
But we had fun.
Yeah, we had a great time.
Yeah, you had a beer. I was like, when I saw her get the beer, I was like, we're going to be friends.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And like, I guess background on Danielle and I's friendship, our works tend to cross over a bit. We are in kind of the same industry, but completely different verticals. And I feel like that's kind of like boded very well for our friendship, as it can get a bit like competitive, especially in kind of the London and New York scene, I guess. And we're actually coming off a press trip today. We were in Paris the last couple of days.
This morning. We landed.
So. Yeah. So here we are now just doing our little live podcast. So we'll kind of get into, I guess the more like London specific chat. Danielle's going to kind of take over for a minute and ask me some questions.
Yeah.
So.
God, I feel powerful. So obviously I know the answers to some of these questions, but maybe some of your listeners don't, maybe some of you guys here don't. So I'm just going to dive straight in. First and foremost, how did your move to London come about?
Okay, cool. So I'm originally from the Northeast. That's where I went to college. And I lived in Boston for a really short stint and then moved on to New York. I was in New York for 6-7 years, living and working there in digital media. I worked in ad tech and also started my blog and my Instagram as kind of a side hustle, creative outlet. I always loved fashion and beauty. So that was kind of like a natural thing for me. And that's where I met my now husband, who's here in the audience tonight. He doesn't tend to get to come to things like this. So it's actually fun for him to be here tonight. So we met the good old fashioned way. We met out at a club in New York, if anyone is familiar with Riff Raff. It is no longer open. Yes. RIP. Riff Raff is essentially like kind of, it was like a very cool like boutique club, painted your face with like tribal paint. Yeah, it sounds kind of
We do things aggressive. Very differently here in London. Like,
not very tame looking back. That is where we met. He works in a complete opposite field of me. He works in finance, which has worked out great for our relationship. Just being in kind of opposite fields. I don't need an Instagram husband. He hates taking my photo. Just putting that out there. So he took a role that was going to eventually put us potentially in London. And so that's really kind of how it all came about. And so that was 2 years ago. And so I guess 2 years and change, we've been in London together.
Wow. Okay. I mean, I did know a lot of that, but some of the tribal thing in the riffraff, I didn't know that.
And the riffraff.
That's a conversation for when the recording stops because, yeah. But what I actually don't know is, and obviously I now know Nick and I've known Nick like for at least probably a year. When he turned around to you and said, "Hey, love of my life, Emily, my darling. So how do you feel about moving to London? Away from everyone, away from your family and your friends. Like, had you been to London before? Like, honestly, what was your reaction?"
I was extremely caught off guard. We were living and working in New York. We were having a ball. Like, it's our, you know, late 20s. I feel like that's a perfect time to be in New York. So very much caught off guard, very surprised at first. But I'm sure a lot of people can relate to this. With any like big changes that come about in my life, I just need time to wrap my head around it. Like, I just need to digest it. So luckily for us, we actually had, it took a year for the move to come about, just between like logistical things and his work and stuff like that. So that worked out quite well. But no, I had never been to London before. You know, I had these ideals in my head of like what it was like, but I had no idea. I had been to Europe twice in high school. So I'd been over to Italy, I'd been over to Spain, and I absolutely loved it. I knew I wanted to get back. So initial was like a bit of like shock and whoa. Yeah.
And then you landed in London, which, by the way, is very different from Italy or Spain. So if you were going by that judgment, I mean, I don't know, maybe you're going to be disappointed or surprised. I don't know. You tell me. But when you did like arrive in London with all of your stuff and you're like, well, I've agreed to marry this guy, so I kind of have to do it. Like, what was your impression?
Yeah. Well, first and foremost, the ride from Heathrow is a little bit brutal in rush hour. But outside of that, first trip over, spent a lot of time in like West London, Westminster, Marylebone, Mayfair area. So like very like dreamy, pretty, magical London. And I had this like ideal in my head of like a Mary Poppins land. And like that very much like came true for me. Then you have Hyde and Regent Park, these like pristine, stunning parks. Like Central Park's not quite like that.
No, we do know how to do a good park over here.
Yeah, do a good park. Everything's just like the upkeep. It's insane. Like these historical, dreamy hotels with like the guys outside in tuxedos and like top hats. And you're just like, what's going on? Like, New York's not really like that. Like, we have beautiful, stunning hotels and stuff like that, but it's this like, this kind of like prestige around London. So my first impression certainly was like fulfilled in what I had in my head.
Yeah. And then how did you, obviously from going from that, like the pristine, like Mary Poppins kind of world, like how did you get to know, I mean, the rest of the city? Because that, as much as everyone thinks that London is really tiny, you try getting from east to west in like 15 minutes, it's not going to happen. Like,
yeah.
How did you get to explore like the rest? Like, how did you get to discover the rest of the city? Like,
so I feel like I got to London the exact same way that I got to know New York, which was like hitting the pavement and networking and looking for jobs. Like, my remember my very first job in New York was at like a small startup in like the Daily Deal space. And the first two companies I worked for didn't really last. So I was changing jobs a lot, especially when I first got to New York. And so I was interviewing all over the city. I was networking. I was taking meetings. I was just trying to meet people constantly. And just getting to know the subway system. And so in the exact same way, I did that over here in London. I moved over in the middle of summer. I wasn't sure if I was going to be working full time. My background was in digital media, but I also had this blog that was growing. But I didn't know what the influencer space looked like over here. So came over in the middle of the summer, which was tricky. Everyone is on a 2-week holiday out of offices, like, responses are on fleek, and you can't get anything done. But still, I was like really motivated to meet people and grow my network, even though it was the dead of summer. And so same thing, like, I had meetings all over the city. I was just getting to know the tube system. And then I feel like on the weekends, Nick and I, we decided to live in Marylebone, and we would just walk everywhere. Like, living in central London is great. So, you know, we spend a lot of time in like Soho and just like Primrose Hill and just these neighboring really fun neighborhoods, just like try to get like a lay of the land. So I guess it was like kind of a mix of that. Mm-hmm. But you're right, like East London, like, it's far away geographically, but the tube system and the transport system here is like so efficient. And you can get anywhere in like, I guess, a half hour, depending on
If you're coming from central, you can
it's just pretty much
one side right to the other, can sometimes be a bit of a pain. Okay, so you kind of said about when you first got here, obviously everyone was out of office, so obviously that would have made like networking and kind of meeting people, you know, we met obviously just, you know, on kind of the off chance of both being invited to the same event, which I guess for me was like a blogger event. It was a festival, but it was like a
blog.
Like, did you know anyone on social media that you'd kind of like hit up? Like, how else, like, obviously, other than just on the off chance, like meeting people?
Yeah. So I used social media heavily, and I guess maybe unsurprisingly, LinkedIn. Such an awesome tool for that. Like, I had a pretty strong network on LinkedIn from like all of the previous startups and jobs that I had worked on. So I literally just like hopped on LinkedIn and Facebook and just did like a blanketed post of like, hey, I am moving to London. If anyone knows anyone or anyone that's like moved over or anyone in digital media that's like looking to hire, I'd love to just grab a coffee with them. Like, nothing more. Like, just want to like kind of pick people's brains, like hear about their experiences over across the pond. And so LinkedIn, Facebook, just like kind of posting, and you'd be surprised, like people were really like apt to help out and respond to me. And like, usually someone will have like friend of a friend or a coworker or someone even coming by for like a meeting or something and they would just connect me. So that was really helpful. Social media was great because I had my blog. So I literally like look up like hashtag London blogger. I'd go on like To Know It Europe and I'd like stalk all these girls that were posting in London, and I would just message them and just say like, hey, New York blogger moving over to London, let's get a coffee. Like, can I pick your brain? And like, of course, some people don't respond. Like, I get it. But a lot of people did. And I feel like I met girls at events. Fashion Week was awesome for that. Fashion Week meetups are great. So like in between shows and events and like presentations, there's usually like meetup places where you can just like go and like kind of like put your feet up for a little bit. And I feel like I still have a lot of like good blog friends from literally just like Fashion Weeks early on.
And would you say that you found that relatively like easy to do? Like, are you that sort of person, or did you like have to push yourself? Because I know for me, like, if I don't know you, I'm really shy.
Yeah.
Despite what you might think from just how I am right now.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I've got to put on my podcast act. But like, I'm quite shy if I don't know you. I will very rarely like approach someone.
Yeah.
So like, was that for you, like to just hit someone up and be like, hey, like, I'm from New York, I'm here? or did you have to push yourself out of your comfort zone?
Yeah, I think a little bit of both. I can definitely be a little bit of an introvert, especially like in person and at events and stuff like that. But I think I've always been pretty motivated, and I've always been used to networking, and I've always been used to like kind of like hustling, and like between switching jobs and just like building my blog network and that kind of thing. So I feel like the motivation certainly helps, but no, like I'm certainly a little bit of an introvert and a little bit shy. And I also feel like, so I'm in my early 30s, I'm in a completely new country, I'm moving. Yes, I have my partner, my husband, amazing, but I still need to meet people. And I feel like you're not really expecting to have to make like new best friends in your 30s.
Yeah.
Like we kind of did that in high school and college. So you're kind of thrown back into the ring with that, but it's really important because, you know, you want to have those like really strong connections and you want to have girlfriends here that you can just like, hey, like, let's grab a coffee. Like, I feel like that was one of the first things that I really wanted to establish when I first got here. Cause you want to feel those connections.
Yeah. Like have like your network,
yeah,
like, your close network as well. Cause obviously you're always gonna have your friends back home. They're always gonna be there, but there is something about having people like geographically, like close to you.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, of course you can pick up the phone, but the time change is really hard.
Yeah.
So like, I remember when I first came over, it was like, if I wanted to call my mom or my sister, like I had to wait till like 2 p.m. in the day. Like, what if I need something?
Yeah, like first thing, 9 a.m.
What am I going to do? Yeah. So yeah, the time change is a little bit tricky too. I feel like, especially at the beginning, because it felt a little bit like lonely.
Yeah, that's literally what I was going to like go on and ask. Like,
yeah,
from speaking to other people that have either like gone somewhere in like a big move or a career change, whatever, they always say like kind of the first 6 months are like the toughest. Like I want to get like a little bit like raw and a little bit like deeper. Like how were the first 6 months for you?
They were a roller coaster. Definitely lots of highs and lows. And just trying to feel acclimated, like trying to get in a daily routine, feeling a little bit homesick. You know, you have the stress of like figuring out visa stuff. So I know my husband and I were going through that for a while. We were engaged when we came over, so we had to figure that out in the first 6 months. It's pretty crucial. Coming over here, I highly recommend like figuring that out ahead of time. I mean, we had a backup plan and we knew that we could figure it out, and we certainly did, but it's still really stressful. The time zones like made it challenging. And you're just kind of going through it. And trying to get in a groove. And then with that, I was also trying to figure out my job stuff. And then kind of deciding to just work for myself and freelance. And that comes with its own challenges of like, you need to make your own schedule and you need to get in a really, really good groove on that note. So kind of all of these things are happening all at once. And in the first, you know, few months of you kind of living in a new place.
Yeah.
So it can definitely feel like a bit overwhelming.
Yeah.
But in time, like you figure everything out. I mean, it's just so true with everything.
Yeah. And I mean, now you're 2 years on.
So, 2 years in?
Yeah. You've had your 2 years. How do you think your impression of London has changed from when like the whole Mary Poppins thing that you kind of said to now? Like you are a Londoner. You're like an honorary Brit.
Oh my gosh. Right. I'll take that.
We're
going
to get onto that later. Like you've had Nando, so you know, you're one of us.
We are going to get into that.
Right.
How
has your impression changed basically of the city?
Yeah. My impression has changed so much. London is so dynamic, and I don't think you really get that taste for it until you spend a significant amount of time here. It's so vast. Each neighborhood is so unique, has so much to offer. It's a cultural melting pot. You have people from literally all over the world. And I know people say New York is quite a hub as well, but I feel like more so here. You're kind of in the center of the world, and you're exposed to just so many different walks of life. I just think it's so cool. You're always learning something new. And then the food scene. I got to touch on the food scene. Like, you can find anything from like all over the world. Like Soho is amazing for that. Any kind of cuisine you could ever want. London has amazing Indian food. It's like one of the best places for that. So it's so dynamic. East London and West London are like absolutely night and day. And my last year in New York, I lived in Williamsburg, which I loved. Hipster Central, but it's awesome. And Shoreditch is just like that too. So it's this like creative hub, startup scene, super grungy, you know, graffiti all over the walls, like everywhere. And it's just, it's night and day, like Westminster, like we talked about. It's like just completely opposite. So I feel like if you're visiting London for like, you know, even your first or your second time, like there's so much more kind of to see, and you kind of need to like break through that and like scratch the surface there.
Yeah. What do you love most now that you've been here? You've experienced a bit of everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you love most?
I obviously love the travel. The travel's amazing.
And just because you're so close to like the rest of Europe.
Yes. And like Europe is literally in your backyard, and within like 2-2.5 hours, you're in just like a completely different European city and country and experience something completely new.
For the first like maybe 6 to 8 months of knowing you, every weekend it was like, yeah, me and Nick are going here, we're going to Barcelona. Like, you've experienced more of Europe than I have, and I've lived in London my entire life, because every weekend it was Berlin, Barcelona, Mykonos, like everywhere, like Como. Like, you've done it.
Yeah, you've done it. I feel like there's so much more to say too, but no, we've just like really taken advantage of that. So travel is definitely number one for us. Whilst we love London, travel's like kind of everything for our experience here right now. We love the pub culture. Pub culture is awesome. Having a beer outside, it's like kind of everything. And every time we have visitors and friends and family like come over, it's like the first thing we do. We find like one of our favorite pubs. We go have a beer. Cafe culture. So like, especially like Paris and like London too, like that cafe culture of like just eating and drinking outside, like literally in the middle of winter, even. Winters are mild. Yeah. I like that too. Winters are super mild. You don't need a huge puffy jacket. You're set.
Yeah, we don't really have like the extremes.
Right.
Like how, if you think of some parts of the States, or, you know, if you go even further up to Canada, like you've got like the snow.
Yeah.
Like, we have like an inch of snow, and it's like the tubes have been canceled. Oh no, it's because
the city completely shuts
like,
down.
We shut down, but if you really compare it,
yeah,
we don't really have any sort of extremes. We actually have a lot of rain.
Yes,
which, you know, we can deal with that.
We can deal with that. Yeah, the city completely shuts down with 1 inch of snow, actually. Yeah. And I think the last thing is that European lifestyle a bit more of a work-life balance. I really do appreciate that coming from New York. It's so hustle and bustle. It's so nonstop. I feel like Nick and I had zero free time whatsoever in our life in New York. And of course, we're busy here and we're still working really hard. But I feel like you guys just appreciate that like balance a little bit more. You take a little bit of a longer holiday. You have a lot of bank holidays.
Yes,
summer, you got like 6 or 7 Mondays off. Like, what is this?
Yeah, we've just had our last one though. So everyone's a little bit miserable right now.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. Okay. We have just had our last one, haven't we? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, you know, it's all right. Christmas will fly by.
Yeah.
Okay, so ultimately, how has your experience been living abroad? And what is your take/perspective on a move like this, if you had to kind of sum it up?
Yeah. It's been super, super, super positive.
Hey.
Absolutely loved it. I feel like when you're thrown into a new city, a new environment, you know, it scares you a bit, but like you only grow and evolve from it. And I really do feel like I have. It's been such an awesome experience in that regard. You know, it's worth it. And I feel like it helped me to sort of evolve my brand as well. So I've launched this podcast. I never thought I would do anything like this. I used to have a fear of public speaking. Yes, true, in college. But right, it's just been able to help me like expand, because I feel like when you're thrown in a new environment, you're taking more risks. You also gain a lot of confidence in doing so. And so that's been really fun for me. I mean, I don't think the premise of this podcast wouldn't even make sense. So I feel like it's only been kind of a positive experience. Yeah.
And for anyone either listening or anyone that's here, what would you say are like your main tips for someone who's going to do like a big move?
Yeah, I think I said this earlier, like it takes time. Everything takes time and patience. I think I was reading online, like it takes 40 to 60 hours to build like an acquaintance level friendship with somebody. Wow. That's a lot of FaceTime. Like that's a lot of time to put in to like creating new relationships and creating a new network. So I feel like if I could go back in time, I would tell myself like, just chill out. Like it's going to take time. Like you're going to get through the hump. You know, you have these moments where you're just like overwhelmed and absolutely freaking out. But, it all works out in the end.
Yeah.
I think as for like a big career move or like making a job transition, I'm a firm believer that like you're never stuck in something. It's like maybe you're at that corporate job or something and you're thinking about leaving, but you don't want to make the jump yet. There's always other outlets. So like starting a side gig or starting a side hustle or like picking up freelance, right? Or like picking up freelance work or consulting or starting an Instagram. I don't know. Maybe you have a hobby, like just something. I think you're never, ever stuck. I think a lot of people can kind of feel like they can't make like a job transition. But I don't really feel that way. So yeah, I would say that, experiment and just like, yeah, try to have fun with any of these like kind of big life scary things.
Yeah, kind of just like embrace it.
Yeah.
Grab the bull by the horns.
Yes, so like say. That. Like water off a duck's back.
Right. Oh, there we go. Oh,
okay.
Welcome. Now you're a landlord. Yeah, amazing.
Yeah.
Okay,
cool. Well, we're going to turn the tables now and I'm going to ask Danielle some questions. So we'll kind of just hop right into that.
Okay.
Enough about me. Cool. So where exactly did you grow up in London? What was life like for you?
Okay. So I grew up North London. I've always been a North London girl. I grew up in an area called Enfield. Don't know if anyone is familiar. Go Enfield. And I grew up with an older sister. She's 3.5 years older than me. My parents have been married for like 40 years. Very like, I guess what you would call like standard kind of upbringing. Like had a lovely little neighborhood area and my best friend that lived opposite the road from me. And yeah, I guess, you know, there was no major, I had a very normal childhood. I was very much supported by my parents and they kind of let me go off and experiment all these different things. And I tried all these different hobbies, which we're kind of going to get into a little bit. But yeah, like if there was an after school activity going, I was like front row. Like I was there doing it. Karate, playing the flute, piano, did a bit of everything.
Oh.
Gymnastics. Oh yeah, I did it all.
I didn't know you were musically talented. I know you're a dancer.
Very much so. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Very much, yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, now I can't do anything, like, you know, like, but yeah, no, like, honestly, I gave everything a go. I was never really, like, afraid. I think because I was so scared, I didn't want to talk to anyone because I was really shy as a kid. I didn't want to talk to anyone. So I was like, if I just do activities, I don't have to speak to anyone. I'll just do. So I don't have to say.
It's a great tactic.
And I genuinely think that's how I got through my childhood, by just doing and not having to say.
Okay, cool. Might have to break the flute out sometime. So you recently bought your first home, which congratulations again.
Thank you.
I need to get over to see the new digs.
Yes.
Where exactly is it? And also, what was that process like in London? I'm actually really curious how that went for you.
Okay, so it's again in North London. It's kind of like, it's an area called Totteridge. Sounds very, very prim and proper and British. Mm-hmm. But it's like still on the tube map, guys. So people think it's really far out. I'm on the tube map. So I'm like, I'm not far if I'm still on the map. So when you have to get on those overground trains, the northeast and all of that, no, you're not in London anymore. So I'm still on the tube map. And yes, I lived there coming up to a year now that I have been living in it. And I mean, anyone who has bought any property will know it's stressful. Anyone that's bought property within the realm of London, I'm not saying that it's not stressful if you're outside London, but in London, I just feel like there's like an added pressure and stress, mainly because everything is more expensive. You know, I look at some of my friends who have bought gorgeous houses, Milton Keynes, Hertfordshire, further out there. They've got like 5-6 bedroom detached houses with the driveway that's got the little pebbles on it, the little stones that when you walk over it makes a noise, for the same cost as my 2-bed, 2-bath flat, like things like that. But ultimately, mm-hmm. like I am a very, very, very family orientated girl. My family is my world, and I didn't want to move too far from them. Plus, with where I am in my career, I'm in and out of central London a lot. Similar to you, I have a lot of meetings. I like to be in kind of the thick of it. You know, before buying where I, the place that I bought, I lived in Soho for a bit. So like, I'm like that girl. You know, I lived in Soho for a bit, which was a lot, above Ronnie Scott's, if anyone is familiar.
Is that a bar?
Yes, a jazz bar.
Okay.
Like, never shuts.
Okay.
Like, never shuts. Like, yeah, true story. I lived above Ronnie Scott's for a year. Then I moved out to Canary Wharf for 3 years. Very different from Ronnie Scott's in Soho. Like, complete transition. And then I was like, guys, I've had enough of, like, set the centre of London. Let me, like, move out a little bit. And that's when I kind of settled in Totteridge. So, nice. Yeah, it's definitely been stressful. And there are things that they don't teach you at school about buying properties. They don't teach you about tax. That hits you like an absolute bitch when you start to work and you realize you've got to pay that. Sorry if I'm not allowed to say that on the podcast.
You can.
That hits you. They don't teach you about mortgages. They don't teach you about any of this stuff. Right. Stamp duty. You're paying the queen to live on her land. Like that, you know, all of that stuff. They don't teach you about that. So I had to learn a lot about that. I didn't know anything about it. Luckily, my parents were very patient and kind of sat me down and were like, this is what you have to do. These are the, and my accountant as well was like, Danielle, I can't keep going over this. But I didn't know anything. Like, I didn't know anything, but it is still possible to do these things and to be independent. Yeah, you have to ask for help. Like, I honestly, the number of times I called my dad and was like, I need to give this. I don't know what that is. Like, can you help me with this form? Or, you know, you just kind of have to figure it out. But yeah, it's been a journey.
Yeah.
But we've made it. We've got it.
Adulting. You really are.
Adulting. Yeah.
So with your career background, your current job, you are very, very well traveled. How do you think London kind of compares to other cities that you've been to around the world?
I'm obviously a little bit biased because, as you said earlier, I was born and bred in London. So like, London is like my place. So I believe if you can survive in London, you can survive in pretty much any kind of city. Because like you said as well, like the diverse cultures and, you know, even in London, all the languages and everything that you're coming across, I think if you can be all right in London and kind of find your way, actually it's been fine for me to then travel and find myself literally on my own, like plonked in like random cities all over the world, which I've obviously been very grateful for. But of course there is an element of fear, and like, I don't know anyone, I'm here on my own, and whether I'm here for a day, 2 days, I've never obviously done a big move in the same way as you, but I've been, you know, oh, here you go, get on that plane, fly there, do that, meet up with that person for dinner, and like, you sat across this person, I don't really know them, but we're here on work, so let's just make small talk. But I do think that growing up in London has definitely equipped me with the right tools to then be able to kind of take my streetwise knowledge and things like that to other cities.
So, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I never really thought about it that way.
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know, I hope so anyway. I don't know.
Yeah. And then, so you've been to the US quite a bit, just like through the years. You were recently also took a holiday in Aruba.
Yes.
What has been kind of the most memorable place for you, I guess, within the United States?
Yeah. Okay. So I've got a few different places. I absolutely adore New York City. I think if there was one place, if someone said you have to move somewhere, you can't live in London, I'd go to New York. But I think it's because part of me is like, oh, it's kind of like London in a lot of ways. But, you know, we have Piccadilly Circus, you have Times Square, which is basically Piccadilly Circus, like on crack.
Yeah,
you know,
thing,
like everything's just so much bigger and brighter. And you know, there's a lot going on. So New York, I absolutely love because I've been there a lot of times. So I feel a sense of familiarity, like a home away from home with New York. I also went to New Orleans for Mardi Gras.
Oh, did you?
Is that where you guys are from?
That's where they got married.
Oh, hoot, right? Yeah. Yeah, I went there for Mardi Gras. I wasn't such a fan of the throwing the beads because the people were throwing them at me and I was not catching them. And I ended up with very questionable marks on my face. So I wasn't such a fan of that. But New Orleans, like, you've got like the French Quarter. Is that the area around there? Yeah, like I didn't expect it to be so diverse. I absolutely loved it. Mm-hmm. And then earlier on this year, I went to Miami on a girls trip. 11 girls, yes. Miami. Enough said.
Love it. One of my favorites.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
okay, cool.
I would say they're my three like faves.
And then you've also been to LA. You've done Coachella. I feel like you've been to LA quite a bit.
Yeah.
How do you kind of compare New York and LA?
Personally, I prefer New York, but I think that's because I'm a city girl. So I prefer that kind of vibe. I love LA. I love the lifestyle. I couldn't live there purely based on the fact that I wouldn't get any work done. I would be like, let's go eat. Let's go to Malibu. Let's go to the beach. Like I, that'd be me every day. I wouldn't do anything. Unless you're going to stick me in LA in a house in Bel Air or Beverly Hills, and then I'm fine. But like, I couldn't live there now, and still kind of try and hustle and make my career happen.
Yeah.
Because I'm not trying to be an actress or a singer, so I don't need to be there. And I just wouldn't get anything done. But I do love, obviously, the 365 weather, like sunny days and things like that. But
yeah.
For me, I feel like I'm more drawn to New York if I had to choose.
That's fair.
I'd go New York.
Yeah. And business is, you're right, business is a lot slower in LA. Yeah. It's just,
oh God, everyone's very laid back.
Taking their time, starting their day at 11 a.m., 12, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't, no, thank you.
Fair enough.
Sorry, so from LA.
I guess as kind of a last London specific question for you, mm-hmm. ultimately, what kind of keeps you in London? I feel like you could live anywhere in the world at this point. Like, why is London still home?
I think because my family is in London. So kind of speaks for itself. I just feel a very strong connection to London. Like, I'm that person that I'll go away, and even when I'm on holiday, first night I'll be like, kind of wish I was at home in my bed in Totteridge. Like, even if I'm like in somewhere really amazing, like, I've just got this connection to London where I just feel, I don't know, it's just me. I mean, I'm also very fortunate that where I was born and raised, that the opportunity is so vast. Like, I do understand that I'm very grateful to have been born in a city that has so much opportunity. And maybe if that wasn't the case, I would have to think about things a little differently. But I think I can't ever see myself permanently moving away from London, maybe for a year, maybe for two.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the future holds. However, I do feel as though through meeting people like yourself and just through my own life experiences of kind of traveling a lot, if I were to make that big move, I feel as though I've been equipped well enough to do so from growing up like as a London girl.
Yeah.
So
no, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I love the end. Well, thanks so much for that. We're gonna just quickly kind of wrap up the episode with a few of, I guess, Danielle and I's like kind of favorite neighborhoods, like favorite places to hang out in London. We figured it could be helpful for the audience or if you're planning a visit soon.
Yes.
So I guess like favorite neighborhoods, I feel like we're always meeting up in Soho.
Yeah. Love Soho. You can get anything.
Anything you want. You love a good Asian fusion restaurant.
I do.
So we tend to find like a random one or we'll try something different.
Yeah, we recently went to Flesh and Buns, which I'd never been to before.
Yes.
It's a really good one.
Went to Flesh and Buns. That was a great one. We did G&T's at Mr. Fogg's.
Yes.
Great staple.
That was really fun.
Yep. They do like fun variations on like a G&T, like inventive cocktails.
Yeah. And there's a Mr. Fogg's kind of on the road that runs parallel to Oxford Street, which is obviously like our main shopping street. In London, on Mortimer Street further up, then we've got like Mortimer House.
Yes.
Which is where we go to. So as I said earlier, I do a lot of fitness and I'm like the wellness ambassador for Mortimer House, which is a members club. And so I've trained you there before.
Yes, you kicked my ass.
Session. Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely made you sweat.
Yep.
In the studio. But then they also have Mortimer Street Kitchen next door.
Yep.
So if you don't want to do the sweat and you just want to eat or drink coffee,
you
or
can do
cocktails,
that.
That's another great, like, it's a really cool, really chill place.
Yep.
So, yes, we've been there. They do really good decaf caps as well.
We love the Grind.
Yes.
Grind Coffee.
Love the good coffee.
They have locations all over London. I feel like that's also how I kind of got to know the city was, like, I'd go to each Grind location. Yeah. Like, I'd go to Shoreditch. Like, I'd go to each one. Great coffee. Also have cocktails. Also have food. And it's always a good vibe there.
Yeah.
Yeah. got to throw in the Hoxton Hotels. Hoxton Hotels are great. Same thing. Amazing vibe. Yeah. You can go and actually like work there during the day. Bring your laptop.
Yeah.
Have a coffee or meet friends for drinks. All around good vibes. And I hear the rooftop in this one is actually pretty awesome. Oh. I want to check it out. So yeah, the Hoxton Hotels. And then to end it off with Nando's. Nando's. Right.
You need to tell your story about when a friend and myself took Emily to Nando's.
Yeah, so I had never been. So coming over from New York, like I had never heard of Nando's.
Criminal.
I know. So they were going to take me on my first experience there. And it was like a really big to-do. They brought me in. They're like, okay, you can do like sandwich, pita, wrap. Then you pick like your intensity of spice.
Yeah. Lemon and herb.
You've got add-ons. You've got your sides. You were like, we have to do the olives.
I have to do the olives. Have to get peronize.
Okay.
I feel very, very passionate about this.
There's like all these different sauces, like peri-peri, like crazy names, what have you. Great drink selection. Soft drinks. It was a thing. I loved it. And I actually went back by myself for the first time last week and I had lunch and I told you guys and you were very proud. So yeah, good old Nando's.
Yeah. So if anyone, I'm hoping everyone in this room has been to Nando's. If not, we'll have a word after.
Get on it.
But yeah, if you're listening and you haven't, then definitely check it out.
Well, thank you so much for joining me tonight. This was so much fun.
Thank you for having me.
Cool.